Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour with Mike Snyder and Mark Rawson here on Spiritual Connections Radio.
The Men's Spiritual Radio Hour, which of course is being hosted on Spiritual Connections Radio. We normally come on the second Tuesday or earlier in the month, but this month, because of travel schedules and everything like that, we had to move the schedule around a little bit. So as always, to keep track of when the shows are and who our guests are and stuff like that, and the other hosts that we have on Spiritual Connections Radio, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And we're really excited to have our guest on this evening. We're just waiting for him to connect in. He's actually overseas and is going to be connecting in using the console on the website to connect in using Skype. So I'm just waiting for him to come into the call queue, and then I will actually connect him into the show. But well, we're doing that. Well, me and Mike are going to chew the fat. So, hey, Mike.
Hey, Mark.
Always great to have you on. You were just telling me it was hot and sticky where you are, and I think you're up in, you're in Pennsylvania, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I'm down in Fort Worth, Texas now, and it's a new temperature for me to get used to. As you know, back last year, I was living in Orlando, Florida, and I thought that it would get hot there, and I was used to the 100 degrees or the 90 degrees and the 100% humidity. But now these days, it's a lot warmer here in Texas, so I've been kind of getting used to that. But actually, I just saw my guest come on. We're going to go ahead and go pull him in a minute. We do see you on the line, and we will come and grab you in a moment there. So thank you for connecting in. And, while I do that, Mike, while I go and I grab him from the back room, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody about that great music we heard on the beginning of the show, and I'll be right back.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, the music that you heard in the beginning of the show is one of many pieces that I do. I do relaxing meditation music for meditation groups, and I also do personal one-on-one sessions. And all the different kinds of music I have, I also have CDs available and recordings of some of the meditations I've played out with my good friend Brigida that Mark and I work with. And that's on my website, which is www.mikesnyderccc.com. And again, on my site, I have many lists of different downloads of different spiritual meditation classes. I have a variety of different CDs, some for different kind of meditation purposes. And each CD on there has a description of what the intended purpose is of the music. And I even have one on there that my friend Brigitte and I did together, which is she actually does a guided meditation on there, a spoken guided meditation, and I actually do the music in the background, and that's a very powerful one as well. And Mark could also tell you a lot about that because he basically has everything I've ever done, so he's a big fan of my music as well, which I'm very appreciative. But some of the other events that you could look forward to see my music on is Mark and I also do a radio show called the Saint Germain Radio Show. And that's always normally the second Tuesday of the month. And on that show, we have my friend Brigida and Mark and Mike. Okay, Mark, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. So I'll let you finish your sentence.
Oh, okay. I was actually just telling our listeners about our other radio show that we do together with Brigida, the St. Germain radio show. And I was just pointing out that we also offer that with the second Tuesdays of the month, correct?
Yeah, generally the second Tuesdays, and then the men's show generally falls onto the third Tuesday, but it seems to be moving around with all of us traveling this summer. So
between
your schedule, my schedule, and Brigida going to Germany, it's just
exactly. Yep.
Very cool. So we have. Before we get started, did you get a chance to give everybody your website so they know how to download and get some of that beautiful music?
Yes, I did.
Okay, excellent. So, as Mike said, if you get a chance, tune into us on the St. Germain Radio Show. I'll be doing Geek Show, which is a blessing, and Mike channels the music, and Brigida channels some type of being. Generally, it has a tendency, as it's called the St. Germain Radio Show, to be St. Germain, but that does change from time to time, and other beings and archangels and ascended masters will come in. So, without any further delay, before I have you do the introduction, I was talking to our guest in the back room, and I told him that I would ask him to pronounce his first and last name to get the show started. So, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I think it's Mark, right?
Yes, it is. It is Mark and Mike.
Mike, yes, Mike the musician.
I'm glad
to be speaking to you guys. So my name is Lionel Tassano, and I'm from Burundi in Africa.
Excellent. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to have you take a pause here. Go ahead, Mike, and give everybody the rundown on who we have on the show this evening.
Okay. Well, it's great to have you on tonight, Lionel. And I'm going to tell everybody a little bit about you. Lionel was born in Burundi and raised in Zambia, is that how you say it?
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe, okay. Did I get it right?
Yeah, Zambia is right.
Okay.
Zimbabwe, I visited Zimbabwe, yes, and it's a country also that's quite close to Zambia.
Zambia, okay. I was going to say, it doesn't look like Zimbabwe on the paper here. So Lionel attended university in the USA, Kenya, and Switzerland, and after almost quitting college he became a member of a music band. And most days he wishes he had actually had the guts to go through with it. This observation provided him with the understanding that the pain of regret hurts much more than the pain of failure. So he went to culinary school to feed his soul, ultimately opening a small beach resort called the Nanara Beach Resort, where he's currently the general manager. But nevertheless, he didn't get to the place that he wanted to be, regardless of his career, and he still felt some emptiness. So as an avid reader since childhood, he decided to have a go at writing. And he wrote Greener on the Other Side, which significantly helped him grow and mature as a person. And thanks to the experience, he's mended difficult relationships with siblings and friends, and believes he's become more understanding since he's written this book. So it's great to have you on tonight, Lionel, and it sounds like you have an amazing story, so we're really excited to talk to you.
Well, thank you for having me again, Mike, and I need to get used to be introduced, you know. this is very nice.
Well, let's start with some of the easy stuff before we get started with your story. Can you tell people what your website is so they can find out more about you?
Okay, if you need to find out more about my writing or my thoughts, I generally write on my personal blog, which is lionontesano, which is one word, .wordpress.com.
Excellent.
Yeah. I also have a Yes.
Okay. I was going to tell people that if for some reason they didn't get a chance to write down that website name, it is up on spiritualconnectionsradio.com. So if you go to our website, you'll see his link, and we'll leave that up for a few weeks so that if anybody missed it, you can find it there at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Where can people find your book, Greener on the Other Side?
Yeah, okay. Generally, for Americans, you can get it on Amazon, or you can get it on BarnesandNobles.com. Those are the main retailers where you can get them.
Excellent. All right. Well, I cut you off before, so go ahead and finish what you were going to say.
No, yeah, I was saying that if you want more information, I have also a Facebook page. It's, you know, on Facebook, you just write Greener on the Other Side, and I tend to post pictures and thoughts and quotes. Some, you know, it might be interesting for some people.
Very good. Very good. So, you know, generally with something like this, we want to kind of talk about where you came from as far as what you believed and your experiences in life, and then talk about the book itself and then how your life was different after the book and stuff like that. So take us back. What was life before the book like for you?
Well, I was born in Burundi. Burundi is a small country in Central Africa. It's a tiny country. It's about the size of Belgium or a bit smaller. We're about 10 million people. And I was born in 1984. However, we left the country. My family and I left the country in 1986. I was just 2 years old. My father at that time was a captain of a boat, but he had managed to go to Belgium to study economics on a scholarship from the government. Like, Burundi was colonized by the Belgians, so we tended to go study there, the brightest students. So he managed to find a job in Zambia, a very promising job. And we ended up spending about 16 years of our lives there, the whole family. So I never really grew up back home in Burundi. And Zambia is an English-speaking country, but I was in a French school. And we kept the French going on in our families. So we went back to Burundi for holidays, visiting relatives and friends. And as things got better in terms of career and salary, we started getting vacation time, paid vacation, schooling was paid for, and the house was paid for. So it was kind of a prominent time for us. So we traveled a lot. So we went to Zimbabwe. There you go. We went to Zimbabwe. We went to Zaire, which is now known as the DRC, Congo. We went to Kenya, South Africa. And then as things got even better, we started going to Europe, France, Belgium, Holland, and we also visited the USA, and that's where I decided to go for my college. So I attended French schools, yes, and a British system boarding school as well, sharing classes with, you know, children that came from all over the world. So it was a very nice time to grow up. So I went to the U.S. I went to the U.S. in 2002. And at that time, I had decided to major in electrical engineering. It was actually what my father wanted, and I had no idea what I wanted. I was just, the only thing I wanted was to go to the USA, because I don't know if you guys are aware, it's like all kids in Africa want to go to the USA. The movies and the music and the culture and everything that America portrays in terms of entertainment has such an alluring effect for especially African kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I was bored. And I met a few guys who were into music, and I was really, at heart, I'm an artist, you know, dancing. And so I followed them, and I started, you know, working with them, and we ended up forming a band. And it came to a point where I had to choose between being a musician and getting an education. So I got scared and decided to get an education. And by that time, my father had already become a businessman, and he had a branch of his business in Nairobi, Kenya. So he told me to come to Kenya, where he could, you know, he could keep an eye on me as he tried to put me on the right path. And while I was in Kenya, that's so many things changed. I met many different people because at first I thought it was the worst thing that could happen. You know, I was this African kid who was in the USA. Everything was working out, you know, for me. And then here I was going to some university in Kenya. But I met some calm people, smart people, you know, young students who were, you know, aware and beyond their years. And by accident, they got me into reading books. And I read one book that, like, the first book that I read, like, really from start to finish was a book called Gifted Hands by Dr. Ben Carson. He's actually, I think, a candidate to be president of the United States. I don't know if he's going to win, but his book and his story really, really had an effect on me. He's still African American, but he was an African American from a poor community, and he was called dumb and slow. Through a series of events, you know, his mother worked as a maid for a wealthy white businessman who had many books, and she asked this person that she was working for if he had managed to read all the books, and her boss said almost all of them. So that made her push her sons to read more books, and she made them read one book every week. And that really changed his life. It opened up so much for him. And he went to medical school. He became the first doctor ever to separate Siamese twins by the head. And the story just really hit home for me. So I ended up reading more books, more inspirational books, yes. But it just happened at that time as well, at the university where I was in Kenya, they inaugurated the biggest library in East Africa. So I ended up spending most of my time in the library. So that's mm-hmm. when things started really changing. And so once I was there, I managed to get a chance to further my studies, but I still had the artist in me. So I decided to go to Switzerland to do culinary arts. But while I was there, I did very well, and I went ahead and I got a master's degree as well in business. And I worked there, then went back to the U.S. to work for the Ritz-Carlton. And then I got a lucrative job offer back in Burundi. And it just came at the right time because I thought it was time for me to go back home and settle. And then once I came back, things like some of the luxuries that I would find in Switzerland or in the US or in other countries, I couldn't find in Burundi. Burundi is probably one of the poorest countries in the world, like the second poorest country in the world. So there's so many things that are not working. There's no constant power. There's so many things lacking. So it was a big shock for me. But it was my home. This is where I was from. And I wasn't, you know, that kid no more. I was working, and I had gone through the party life. I had gone through the traveling, and so much so. And I was 30, and I was involved in such a big hotel project, and I just needed to make sense of what was happening, where all this was going, and I was frightened. So I decided to write this book to make sense of my life, or at least for me to understand myself better. So the only reason why I wrote this book was for me to understand myself better. There you go.
Excellent. Yeah, very cool. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
Wow, that's a fascinating story. So it seems like you've seen a good part of the world at a very young age.
I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky and privileged.
And then what exact country did you say you live in now?
Right now I'm living in Burundi. So
okay.
it's you have the Congo that's on the west, and then you have Zambia, but Zambia is not like a neighboring country. You have a lake, Lake Tanganyika, that connects us to Zambia. Lake Tanganyika is the deepest lake in Africa and the second deepest lake in the whole world. And then we have Tanzania on the east. And then on the north, you have Rwanda, where you had the genocide.
Okay.
So Rwanda and Burundi, way before independence, was one country. And so we have the same tribes, we have the same language, we have the same customs and culture. But then we were separated when the Belgians came, and then we got our independence in 1962. And then our history is kind of like separated, but the same problems, same ethnic problems were there. So we had a civil war that started in 1993, and then in 1994 it went into Rwanda, where you had the actual genocide. But Rwanda, the civil war wasn't that long. In Burundi, the civil war lasted 13 years. So I never lived that, but I have relatives that lived the civil war, and many of the Burundians that I know actually had to fled the country and became refugees. So being a refugee is such a big tag for Burundians. And that's how I decided to start the whole book, with the issue of with the story of a young Burundian who has to flee his country and ends up in the U.S. And then the story. I'll explain more about the book.
Yeah, because I actually was taking a look at the description of the book through your WordPress site, and so to start talking about the book. Now, is this your first book, or have you written another one since?
Yeah, no, this is the first book. I started writing in 2012, at the end of 2012, and then it came out in April 2014. And it's my first book. By trade, you know, I'm a chef, I'm a manager, I'm into hotels. But this is my first book, and I'm writing a second book as well, but this is my first book.
Okay, so it's called Greener on the Other Side, and I see the cover has an elephant on it. So what's the significance? It's an elephant with a background of clouds. It almost looks like, is the elephant walking on a tightrope?
Yeah, actually it is.
Oh, okay. So what is the significance of that?
There's so many very generic and simple. Like when I first saw the cover, I first loved it. And then when I was writing, I wanted to make sure that the first picture that you had made you think of Africa. So there's nothing that makes you think of Africa like an elephant. It's such a majestic animal. And it's the biggest land animal in the world. And then they usually have to migrate to look for water and greener pastures to feed themselves. And that's basically why I put this picture as a cover. It's just a metaphor as the elephants have to migrate to find greener pastures.
Yeah, it's a great looking cover. I really like that. So have you actually ever come? You've seen elephants in real life, or?
Of course, I've seen elephants in real life.
I mean,
when I was in the U.S., many people asked me very weird questions about Africa. Because they really don't know, what to expect. The only images you have is, the starving kids and all that. So just to make sure, you don't have elephants roaming around town. So you have to go to actually a park or a reserve, a specific place where you can see them.
Yeah, they're not like chickens.
No. However, here in Burundi, we have the capital city is just by the lake. So sometimes we can see hippos or crocodiles. So that's something that you can see on occasionally. And some of the foreigners and the expats that are here find this amazing. And yeah, so these are some of the perks of being in Africa.
Okay, well that's really fascinating. So back to the book. I see there's a really nice summary here. So the story of is the story purely fiction, or is it based on a true story that's like just pieces from your life, or is it actually like a true story itself?
That's a great question. It's a mixture of facts and fiction. Just recently, I learned a new word from another author. He calls it faction, where you mix fact and fiction. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to make it fun. I didn't want to write a memoir. I'm too young to write a memoir. I haven't done anything really significant to write a memoir. But I have a creative side, and I felt like I really need to tell a story, and also, like I previously said, to understand myself. So it's a mixture. Green Onion is a fictional story that is based on numerous actual events. So because I talk about certain people, but I have to protect them, and so I had to mix it all up.
Yeah, and I think that I think that's neat too in any kind of writing, because I think it's pretty hard for anybody to be an author and have a completely total fictional story that just comes up out of the blue. I mean, there's just so many stories that people write that's a result of their life experiences or what they've experienced in life. And I think it's really neat, as opposed to somebody that, like, when you do a biography of yourself or when you, you write about your actual life events, in a fictional story, it's nice because you can kind of take, like, your own take in life, like your own experiences, and make them into a story as to a way that maybe had you had another path in life, you might have lived it that way. Or if, let's say, you were a young child today instead of a grown adult, this is maybe how it could have been for you, and you kind of get to create that virtual world, I guess, so to speak, So that's how I look.
Exactly. You have room to escape. It's just like when you're a kid and you come up with games or scenarios. It's just the same, except when you're a bit older and you're trying to write a book to help yourself or to help somebody else or to tell a story, you have to be able to put in some form of, I won't say wisdom, but you're just putting your perception of life, and everybody's got a perception, and every perception is valid. So it's a very fun way to connect with people and to share.
Okay, Mark, were you at the point now where you wanted to take a break to announce things, or
let's go ahead and do that. So for anybody who's tuning in, we have a great guest on this evening. You can find out more about him and his website and his book by going to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. You are listening to the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour, which is on once a month on Spiritual Connections Radio. And me and Mike are always excited to hear back feedback from everybody and to be able to bring great guests from around the world to the show. And today is a good example of that. So with that, Mike, did you have another question, or shall I jump in?
What I was going to suggest maybe at some point is Lionel, if you want us to do this, I see that on WordPress there's like a small synopsis of the book at some point tonight. If you'd like if you'd like one of us maybe to read that or something, we could do that to give the listeners a little even a better idea about the book. Or
yeah, that would be great, so that I can try and sum it up or explain exactly what the book is about. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Mark, if you want to ask some questions first, we can always come back to that later on then.
Yeah, sounds good. Why don't we hit that in a minute? I just want to ask a question. I noticed by looking at the write-up as far as the different things that you've experienced, that you talk about the emptiness or this feeling of emptiness as you're going through the different phases of your life. And I was wondering if you could talk about what those experiences were like as you went through your life journey.
When I was writing it, like I feel like I'm different now, especially that I've written the book. But my younger brother always asks me, you know, why are you writing so much? And I always say that it's my way of channeling all the energy from the music that I couldn't do, you know, and to manage to channel it in a way that can come out. Because the whole idea, that the whole issue of me not staying with the two young fellas in the U.S. to continue with the music really affected me. And I was really into it, and I loved it so much. I felt really passionate about it. And like anything in this world, you know, you need time, you need practice, you need to work on it, you need to go through stuff. And then that's when you can get the fruit out of your labor. But I got scared and I quit too early, and it really affected me. Even though I was young, I was probably 21, I think, even though I couldn't understand how the world worked, but I knew I had done something very wrong. And in all the other stages of my life, as I was growing, there was always that little voice saying that, you know, you quit. So the emptiness, because as I mentioned, I started reading, I started bettering myself. I went to get a master's degree. I came back, I was getting jobs, I was getting a good offer, I was working on this great project and all. But there was still that voice telling me that you had quit. And it was, the music was really close to my personality, my being. Because the only way you can be happy is when whatever you're doing comes out from within. So the writing was a way to channel this energy. And that's when I talk about the emptiness.
Okay. And yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, I had it muted, so I wouldn't have the background noise. But yeah, I think one of the powerful things I saw in the write up about your bio is that you said that the pain of regret hurts more than the pain of failure.
Exactly. That's what I kind of explained.
Yeah, and I think that's true for so many people. What do you you know, actually I think this would be a good time to talk about the book. Mike, can you go ahead and read that write up on the book?
Sure. Okay. So here we have the synopsis of Lionel's book, Greener on the Other Side. And it says, Greener on the Other Side is set between 1993 and 2013 in New York, Paris, Nairobi, Burundi, and begets the question whether the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. This perceptive, coherent, thought-provoking, and piercing work highlights the subtle social game of everyday life with puns and double meanings seeped through the eyes of an unorthodox hero, a very young priest by the name of Nicholas Jordan. He is a teenage African boy who loses his family in a gruesome genocide. He finds himself in New York City as a political refugee, disillusioned with the adult world and its phoniness, where his world takes another tumble as he meets all kinds of people that further shatter his understanding of life: an envious lawyer, an angry artist, an egocentric heiress, a greedy businessman, and a slothful dreamer. After a decade has passed, he returns to his native country to meet his only remaining relative and childhood best friend, maybe to find some closure, but to his surprise, he discovers she is a gluttonous alcoholic and the best friend, an opportunistic pervert. All these encounters, events, and relationships shape his views and beliefs that ultimately induce him to become a priest. And it says here, I guess these are your words, Lionel. The moral perceptions I hope to share in this book are delivered to the readers as a story. The hero, Nicholas Jordan, is a fictional character, product of my imagination. So that sounds like quite an adventure that your character goes through, and seeing all facets of life. So it sounds like a very interesting read.
Oh, thank you. Ever since I was younger, I was always observant, and I would see through intuition. I tended to see so many things from people, from situations, and that's why it's kind of, I wouldn't say easy, but it comes out easily when I have to describe feelings and context in a situation. Well, just to explain more about the book, it's a story of a young Burundian priest who narrates about the unusual way he came about to become a priest. Because in the book, he actually becomes a psychologist. He becomes a shrink. And he is also a writer. And then through the series of events and the people that he meets, he ends up becoming a priest. The people that we meet, the other characters that we meet in the book, are seen through Nicholas Jordan's eyes, you know, and I rooted all of these characters through the seven deadly sins. So in the book he's a young Burundian, but he's somewhat of an old soul, and he's an observant character. Like, he can observe things out of people, and he shows his virtue and his pitfalls at the same time. So when I first started writing this, it was kind of an essay. It was a philosophical essay and a soul-searching, you know, exercise that I managed to camouflage in a novel.
And the other question I have too, and this is actually separate from the book now, is going back
okay.
to your passion for music. So
yeah.
Have you ever... Do you have the desire to ever get back into it? Like, is there a particular instrument in particular that you're attracted to, or that you could start a band again?
Funny enough, just a few months ago, one of the young lads I was making music with lives in LA now, and he makes movies, and he was looking for someone to help him with some of the scores and the music that he wanted to use for his movies. So he sent me an email, and we hadn't talked in maybe 5 years, but he's still a friend. He's much older than I, and he's American. And I don't know. I really don't know. But a lot of my friends and family members always tell me that I need to find a way to go back into music. But I'm sorry to say, but I have no idea if I'm going to ever go back into music as seriously as I did at that time. However, I feel like I can find myself tempering with music in a different way, but smarter way, business-minded way, with the restaurant and the hotel here. I want to work on a jazz-themed bar where you have a very nice, cozy atmosphere, a place where you have, because we have artists, Burundian artists here that cannot get any kind of attention or need support, but they are really talented. So maybe if I had to work with music, it would be in that direction to maybe support other artists and people who are really talented, who are really going for it and who still have the heart for it. And that would be a great avenue for me. And Mike, I will need some of your music for this new book that I'm writing. It sounds very, very relaxing. And
thank you very much. Yeah, you know,
so
I could definitely send you my my website and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then that's the because
I'll get your email I'll get your email from Mark after the show, and I'll be sure to send you the link to some of my stuff.
Okay. Because when I was writing this one, I was listening to a lot of jazz and blues and old stuff. And I ended up having a set of songs that were given to me by my brother, where you had this young boy choir, church choir, like singing. It was just something that I had never heard before. It was very, very, very inspiring. So I listened to some of your music at the beginning, and I'm like, this is the kind of music that I need when I really need to try to put a message across. You know, because when you're writing, you might have the time where you're describing things or you're just setting up a scene. But then there's always that moment where you have to say what you have to say. And then that's when you really need to have the great surrounding around you.
Yeah.
So after the show, we need to exchange information.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you very much. I take that as a wonderful compliment, you know, and it's interesting because what I'd like to touch upon is what I like is how you describe your writing is a channel for your creative outlet. So, you know, we may have so much creativity pent up inside us, and, you know, we have different choices in life of how to express that, whether it's writing or it's music, even if it's just like, you know, exercising or attending different kind of classes we're interested in.
Painting, and art and photography. There's so many ways that someone
But for myself with the music, I started out as a young child and I always rejected taking lessons and just always, for some reason, I've always been attracted to bringing the music through intuitively and bringing the music through by the energy feelings that I have around me and so forth. And so what I find fascinating about it is I do see not only has it affected me, but many of the people that are big fans of my music, especially Mark here. He has everything that I've ever done. It is something good to play in the background because the angle I'm coming from is I'm playing music that connects you to your spirit. It helps you connect to what I would call your higher self or your higher being, which is when you do writing a lot of times, I think, even whether we're writing a novel or something, I think there's always a certain part of us that's channeling energy from our higher spirit, or sometimes we're channeling energy maybe from a spirit guide that helps us move that pencil along a little bit better. I myself have done many channeled writings, which I call automatic writing, where I know I've been writing faster than I can think it, and it's actually messages coming through from the spiritual realm to help me or guide me or help or guide another person. So, you know, it's all a big ball of wax, the music and the writing and so forth. So I find it very profound because, like you said, you mentioned having the music in the background is kind of a support system for creativity, and I think that's exactly what it does.
Wow. Yes, that's what you're saying is very right, especially when the part where you say that you write faster than you're thinking it. Yeah, it happens to me. It happened really to me when I was writing this book, where I would spend evenings and I would write so much and go to bed. And then the next day, I read again what I wrote and I would ask myself, was it really me who wrote this? Like because of the emotion and the truth and how things linked to each other, because writing is so hard. hard, so difficult. But when I would read again what was written, I would ask myself, how on earth did I manage to write this? So the whole issue of getting a higher spirit, something bigger than us, I might say that I believe you on that one.
Yeah. Well, I'd actually like to bring in Mark. Hey, Mark, I have a question for you in relation to this.
Okay, go ahead.
So I guess you've heard our conversation here, and what I find fascinating, too, is remember how you mentioned to everybody earlier on the show how you do the you offer the Deeksha blessing on one of our other radio shows?
Mm-hmm, yep.
So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that, Lionel, and maybe talk about how perhaps even that could help aid the creative process, because when you're sending that pure energy to another person, I know I feel it, and you know it's an interesting creative process that you and I have when we do the radio show, because I can feel the energy that you're sending, and that helps aid me to making the music. It kind of even relaxes me a little bit more.
Yeah. So, you know, just a little background on this real quick, because I want to really get back to you and ask you some questions before we close out the show.
Okay.
But Deeksha is something that originally came from India, and it was something that was only given to people who had studied spirituality for 30 or 40 years. It was
wow.
only meant to be given to people who had achieved great levels of spiritual growth. But recently in the years, Deeksha, which is the blessing that is given by a blessing giver who's trained to do it, is basically giving a gift to the individual that allows them to fulfill something in their life that would be basically a connection between you and whatever you believe in, which we would call God, the divine, or whatever the person's belief system is. It's not specific to any type of religion. And matter of fact, there's people who are atheists that don't even believe in God who do Deeksha or receive the Deeksha blessing. You know, so generally it's something that I've been trained to do. It's something that is being done more these days because there's a movement to enlighten more people on the planet, to shift the energy of the planet, to save the planet and the people that are on it. So now, you know, there's a number of people around the world that actually do the Deeksha blessing, and it is given to anybody who asks for it. And it's a beautiful gift that we do. It can be embedded into writing material. It can be embedded in the music, and it can be embedded into radio shows. And it can be sent. It can be given in person, or it can be sent remotely. And it can be sent on a very large scale. Like when I do it, when I do the radio show with Mike, you know, with the Saint Germain radio show, we actually set the intention that it goes out to any person who listens to the show or listens to the replay. And I simply send the blessing out to those individuals while we're doing the show, and it's something that's felt, and it's a very beautiful gift. It's for people that I know that are very sensitive, who understand or can understand energy. They
yeah.
say that it shows up differently for them every time based on whatever they need it in that moment. The intention that I set that some people understand or don't understand is I send it to the person that the blessing be given to you for your highest good. So, you know, if you're going through pain or suffering or sickness or whatever it is, the blessing will go in and do whatever is for your highest good, you know, in that moment. So it's a beautiful gift. It's something that I do for free. I do a lot of different services and stuff, but the Deeksha blessing is something that I do for free. So that's basically Deeksha. And I guess, you know, when we talked about it earlier, as Mike had talked about it, I think what it really comes down to, and this is something you can think about when you write your books,
yeah.
is that you simply set an intention that anybody who reads the words on your page of your book, that it gives them a blessing, or it gives them, and this isn't even about oneness at this point, this is about just basically creation and intention. But you could basically say, well, if anybody that reads this book, they'll feel empowered to find their passion, or they'll be healed, or they'll find happiness in their life, or whatever it is that's, you know, that you want to give them, by reading that material. And there's some books that I've read. You know, at one time I was studying different types of what we call healing modalities. And one of the healing modalities that I'm certified to do is called reconnective healing, which is taught around the world. And when I originally read the book of the guy who created reconnective healing, Eric Pearl, if you actually read his book, you can actually feel energy coming into your body while you're reading the book. It's actually one of the first books that I actually ever read that I actually felt something from. And I mean, you know, you can feel things as you read books. You know, you can feel passion. You can feel the story. You can have compassion for the writer. Those are things that occur with all writing. But to actually feel an energy or feel something that can actually transform your life, that's something you can do by intention, and it can be something you do on your own in your life, or it can be something that you do in a written material. And there's a lot of people that put energy and love into their books. There's a lot of people who do it, you know, into their music. Mike has a lot of energy and intention, a lot of music that he does that comes through at high frequencies. So that's basically everything in a nutshell. I hope I was answering both you and Mike's question on that one.
Yeah, this is very interesting. But one thing's for sure, I'm going to get some of Mike's music, and then you made me want to read this book about reconnective. What was the name of the reconnective energy?
Yeah, it's actually called Reconnective Healing, and it was written by Eric Pearl. He's a famous teacher that's out there that teaches a hands-on healing modality, as I call it. You know, different types of spiritual things have modalities. So from that aspect, it's the idea of being able to heal people by just using your hands and setting an intention. And, you know, it's more of, you know, the new spiritual type of healing stuff. But the only reason I brought that up in conversation is only because it was my first experience of reading a book that actually I felt energy in it as I was reading it. So, you know, I don't know if you're not really interested in learning how to heal people with your hands, it might not be the book for you to read. So, but
I never thought about healing people with my hands. It sounds so powerful. I don't feel like I can deserve or I can have that power to.
Another good book that one of our previous Men Show's guests that we had on, Mark, was Jerry Gavin.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm finally actually just now, even though we had him on a year and a half ago, I'm finally just reading his book now called Messages from Margaret. And I don't know, Lionel, if that would be something more of interest to you, but he actually talks about how he developed his connection to talk with, like, angelic guides and spirit guides and things like that. But it's also, it talks very heavily about your intuition. And, you know, the intuition, which is kind of like what we've just been talking about, really does come into play as a writer. So that might be one that might be a little more appropriate for you if you're looking for something that, explores your intuitive facilities, if you know what I mean.
What's the title of the book?
Messages. Go ahead.
Messages from Margaret, I believe it's called.
Yeah, it's called Messages from Margaret, and it's basically channeled by our friend Jerry. And it's basically an understanding of life and the spiritual life and everything that's going on from the angle of an angel. Another guest that we've had on the show who's very interesting, who wrote a book on guides. There's this understanding, if you follow spirituality, that as you go through life, you're given a guide that basically works with you from the time you're born to the time you die, who's on the spiritual side, who helps you with a lot of your life, and it's normally called your guide. And one of our guests, Garnet Schuhauser, wrote a book called Dancing on a Stamp. And that particular book, Dancing on a Stamp. And that particular book was written by him to talk about meeting his guide and how his guide taught him about life and what happens after you die and all that kind of stuff. So, depending on where your interest is, there's some pretty good writing out there. And it's funny because, like yourself, we always have some really good guests on our radio show.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine. The one messages from Margaret sounds something that I would read.
Yes, yes, it's a very good book. Jerry has done a number of books.
Yeah.
And he's a very good writer, and he's basically, I think, right now touring the United States. He's doing a lot of work. A lot of these different people actually have radio shows on a spiritual publishing company in the United States called Hay House. So a lot of these people have their own radio shows on that channel. But, you know, people like Garnett and Jerry and stuff, we've actually had them on the men's show. So. And I'm sure we'll always have him back. We seem to bring Garnett back every time he prints a new book. He just did one, Dancing with Spirit, and then his first book was called Dancing on a Stamp. So just amazing books. But more importantly, since we're down to the last 5 minutes, let's get back to you. You know, you know. I guess, you know, normally we ask people, you know, what is the biggest lesson you've learned in life? But I want to actually ask you a little bit something different, and that is, you know, you talked about your life really changing after you wrote the book. You talked about your ability to grow and to mature and to be able to heal relationships and to become more understanding and stuff like that. Tell me how the book itself allowed you to find patience and forgiveness.
Forgiveness was the biggest lesson I learned. It's the most important idea, theory, I think there is. Even if we think of the Bible and the whole story of Christianity, but starting to forgive yourself first, and then forgiving the people that seem to hurt you, or even to forgive God because things didn't work out the way you wanted them to go. That is a very important. But to reach that level, I think it is important for you to go through the whole process of hurting, the whole process of desire and wanting. That's what the whole green on the other side is all about. It's not only about being a refugee. It's not only about traveling, but it's also on a deeper level, on a spiritual level, where you want to be someone else. You want to. It's so hard to accept yourself the way you are, your limitations, and the good things about you. And once you manage to accept that part of acceptance, what I call forgiveness.
Well, that's amazing. Before we wrap up the show, why don't you go ahead and give out your website to everybody and just remind everybody where they can find your book, Greener on the Other Side.
Okay, if you're interested in the book, Greener on the Other Side, you can find it on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. If you want more of my writing or my thoughts, you can go on Lionel Tassano, which is my name, but put together, lioneltassano.wordpress.com.
All right, very cool. We're down to the last minute. I want to just let everybody know, if you missed any part of the website information for our guest this evening, it is all up on our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionswithanSradio.com. And it was great having you on as a guest, and I thank you for everything and your stories and all that. And Mike, it's always great to have you on.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you both tonight.
All right, excellent. I got an email out to your publicist, so we'll be exchanging information. If you have any questions about those titles or anything we talked about earlier, you can send me and Mike an email. We'll share those with you. But with that, I want to say thank you, because I know it's probably about 2 or 3 in the morning for you, so thank you for dialing in from Africa. And and it was great talking with you.
Oh, Mark and Mike, thank you for having me. This is a pleasure for me, and I've learned something today. And yes, it is 3 a.m., but it was worth it. And yes, with the publicist, I'll make sure that I get your emails, because I really am earnestly and honestly in need of music, like Mike's music. And then also to get more information about those two books, Messages from Margaret and Dancing on a Stamp, so that I might read and really put myself in a position where I'm ready to learn and to receive. Thank you very much.
Okay. Excellent, excellent. Yeah, and we're actually, we're still broadcasting, but we're not recording right now. But I want to just let you know, we will exchange emails and information with you through your publicist in the morning. So we will catch up with you later, and thanks for doing the show, and good night, everybody.
Okay. Good night. Bye-bye.